Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gio. Yeah, and it's starting to answer some of the questions that I've had about how different leagues are going to handle this. The same thing could be said for NASCAR. The same thing could be said for the Champions League and Bundesliga and the Japan Baseball League and the Korean Baseball League, all of them. The soccer tournament out in Utah for the women. Everybody's going to handle these things a little bit differently. Reading some of the quotes from some of the players, interestingly enough, Brooks Koepka was so worried about this that he had a small group of people, including his girlfriend, his caddy. He travels with a chef. He flies on a private jet. He's been renting private homes. He's basically kept his group in a very, very tight bubble, making sure that nobody was exposed to the virus or trying to make sure nobody was exposed to the virus. And, of course, his caddy comes down with the virus, and now you have this whole understanding that, look, man, we're going to have to live with this virus. I mean, until Right. we get rid of it or until it dissipates itself. And I think that the PGA Tour is doing the right thing, and I think every player is going to be different. Now, the interesting thing about a lot of this stuff, the politics of it is just as bad as the reality of it, because the politics between the governors playing games with each other and we're going to quarantine these people, we're going to be quarantining those people. You know, when you think about Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey, the three governors have decided that they will quarantine travelers entering the tri-state area from the following states: Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, and Utah. Obviously, California's not on there. I don't know why. Well, we all know why. But the point being, all these golfers come from different parts of the country, and they're coming into Connecticut to play the Travelers Championship. Now, does that have something to do with these quarantines, or the athletes and their entourages, their travel companions? Are those people eligible for this quarantine that's supposedly happening?
Well, apparently baseball players are not subject to that. I did see that yesterday, that any baseball players that are flying into New York to train that came from any of these quarantine states are allowed to just go about their business. I'm sure they're going to be tested plenty once they get back here. I mean, I guess maybe that is the difference. I don't know. But I mean, there's no way to enforce that. I mean, you see that, and it's whatever. It's a tweet. It's a part of a press conference.
Nothing's going on. I mean, we have the reality. We're dealing with the virus, but yet everybody in politics, and I mean everybody from the top on down, all they do is play the game of politics, which basically pisses everybody off, and it creates conflicting messages. There are a million conflicting messages out there. I don't know who to believe. I mean, in 1 minute you have this world-renowned Italian doctor saying, "Well, I'm seeing a dissipation of the virus. I'm seeing patients that would have come and seen me in March, April, and May would be dead by now, but now are sitting up and we're dealing with the virus without having to intubate them or put them on any sort of ventilators." And then the next hand I hear, well, wait a minute now, we may get a second wave back and we're getting more cases than ever in all of these other states.
Well, nobody knows, right? Because it's so new. That's the reason why.
Nobody knows. Yeah. And I just think that initially it felt right to do what we did. And I would also say that there has been significant collateral damage that has come along with a lot of the decisions that have been made. But I guess it's easier to cry the negative part of all of this, because when it does happen, you can say at least, hey, I said this was going to happen if you are in a position of power.
Yeah.
But I still feel like we have to live with it. We have to do whatever we can to mitigate the exposure to it. And then hopefully a vaccine comes or it does dissipate. And depending on who you're reading and where you're reading it, you're getting all sorts of takes on whether or not that's going to happen. So this is really, I feel bad for the travelers because we had 8 of the top 10 guys come in there, Brooks Koepka being one of those guys. And obviously last week's Webb Simpson won and he was going to come and then he backed off because he had a family member come down with COVID-19. It's still going to be a great golf tournament. It's still going to have a really good leaderboard and the scores there are usually pretty low. So much like we saw last week at the RBC Heritage and also at the Charles Schwab Challenge, we're going to see low scores and we're going to see a lot of very popular names on the leaderboard. So it's unfortunate Brooks is not there. It's unfortunate Webb is not there. But at the end of the day, you know, there's still going to be a lot of guys playing, and I'm glad that they're going to continue to play and try to play through this, if you will.
Yeah, I hope that stays that way. Now, I understand there could be a point where they're going to have to do something differently because maybe so many players end up with it and then they just say we have no choice. But I'm hoping, because remember too, you know, Webb Simpson and Brooks Koepka didn't get it. They had people close to them that got it and then they made the decisions themselves to withdraw. But it's not like those two golfers ended up with the virus. I'm hoping that they power through, and I know that some people will say, well, that's irresponsible because there's more people at risk and we're not worried about the golfers, we're worried about the people in their families and the high risk people, and it's not just about the athletes, it's about the people that could die from it. I understand all that, but I mean, that's also why the people that are at the highest risk can't be around people that are doing stuff. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So, as you said, we're going to have to live with this. Me, you, and everybody listening right now has to deal with this, and this is why I want to see the PGA Tour safely, respectfully, power through and continue. And yeah, you're going to have a couple of bumps in the road because, you know, this is aggressive. I instead of shaming the PGA for starting back up and getting golf back for us, I'm going to applaud them and say, hey, good job. You went ahead and you did this, and people were telling you maybe not to, and this is happening. I mean, the thing that you mentioned before about, you know, maybe politicians do this a little bit where they project the negative, and then if the negative happens and it's like, hey, I told you so type of behavior that goes on. But, you know, the whole like, oh, see what happened. You went and you tried to do something and this thing came up and bit you. I mean, you know, it's going to be there. We all know that. There's going to be positive tests. Probably when baseball comes back, with football, there's going to be positive
tests.
That's
why we're wearing masks and trying to social distance, because we all realize it's still here.
Yeah, and with sports, it's just, you know, how do you deal with it from there? You know, it's going to be a part of our lives for longer than we want it to be. It's already been part of our lives for longer than we want it to be. But we have to learn, adjust, and move on, in my opinion. And I understand I'm not an epidemiologist, but we listen and read a lot of stuff, and I just believe that when something like this is happening to the PGA, you take every precaution, you make sure that the people are testing positive are out of there, you make sure that the people that they came in contact with are tested, and you try to keep them away from people for a while just to make sure. But you keep going, and the healthy people keep going, and unless it gets to a point where everything has to get shut down because there is an outbreak. But personal responsibility and intelligence in these matters goes a long way. And I really hope we don't see another shutdown of the PGA, because you know what that means. Then everybody just extrapolates that out to like, oh, this is what's going to happen with baseball. This is what's going to happen with basketball. This is what's going to happen with hockey. Not necessarily. Right? We don't know. So that negative attitude of like a couple of guys withdrawing from this tournament, where it's like, okay, that's it. You tried and you couldn't do it. Everything's got to be shut down. Forget about sports for the year. Let's just all stick around and stay in our houses till it all blows over, and then we'll go back out. No, I don't think we can live like that. I really don't believe we can live like that.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is also now coming out of Florida is Disney is delaying their opening. They were going to open mid-July, and it looks like they're moving it back. And now you have to worry about, okay, what is that impact on the NBA and their tournament, Major League Soccer and their tournament, and everything else that they're going to be holding at the Wide World of Sports? You know, so is that still going to go on since Disney is moving their opening day back?
So, see you real soon.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be people that will say, of course, now that Florida's got this many positive tests, why are we going to send all these athletes into the danger zone?
Big tour's going on, so let's get started.
The epicenter, all of that stuff. I mean, if you're isolated and you're in a bubble and you're not seeing the other people that are in the state, which is a very, very large state, then I think it's a different story than having people come from all over to go ride Dumbo. I mean, it's not the same. You know, to me, you know, having the public go and enjoy Epcot Center is a different situation than the NBA playing, practicing, staying together in a bubble. Now, if you were to tell me that these guys are going to go out to the bars, these guys would go ride the rides with the public, these guys would dance shirtless like Novak Djokovic did with a bunch of people in Orlando, in some sort of outdoor party, yeah, then sure.
Hey, come on, cut the clowning, will you?
And all bets are off. But if you're in a bubble, you're in a bubble, right?
Right, that's right.
Talk to me like that!
Oh, boy, I tell you what, Eddie's taking over the whole show. But, you know, there are also other problems that are still here, and there are still hot spots around us, too, by the way. You know, and don't think that there aren't. That, you know, we have actually flattened the curve. Our numbers of cases are going down. Our hospitalizations are going down. All that stuff is great. But at the same time, there are still neighborhoods that are seeing spikes, you know, and most of it comes from, as I've been reading, you know, close contact with one another. Families are coming down with these things, and somebody could be going to work and bringing it home to the family. That's what everybody was worried about initially, and that's still happening. And as we start entering these different phases and all these different things going on and more and more and more and more people going out, we're going to see more positive tests. We all have to realize that. The more all these states open, the more people, you know, the better the weather gets, you know, the more people are going to want to get out. They're going to want to go do their thing. They're going to want to go to restaurants, and there are potential for, you know, more hotspots. That's just the reality of what's going on.
Yeah, well, of course, and it's something that we understand, and that's why you make the decisions for yourself, what you believe is good for you, what you think is going to make sure that you steer away from this thing, and that's what you do. I mean, you know, it's not unlike other decisions that you make in life. You just have to remember that it's not all about you with this particular one, you know, like other things too. I mean, it's you protect yourself in order to protect the people in your life that could be high risk with it. But there is this growing tide, if that's even a thing, a stemming tide or growing tide, whatever it is. Eddie can help me out with
rising
the metaphor. Rising tide. Thank you. With the rising tide, with my malaprops here. There is a rising tide that is coming in where it's like, well, you know, sports, here you go. The finger waving. I can hear it and see it already. You tried with your sports. You tried to have a little fun with your sports and see, the virus had other ideas. And it just, now, my opinion counts for nothing in the world of viruses, but I believe it doesn't have to be that way. I don't believe that we have to run and hide like we did back in March. I think that was a different situation than what we're in now. Now, maybe my brain is in a different place because New York is in a good place right now, and we were not back in March. Maybe that's what it is, and other states that are going through this now might feel differently. But if you are playing in bubbles, if you're playing without fans, if you are testing every other day, if you are staying around the people that only you know and you're not going out, then why can't we continue with baseball, basketball, golf, hockey? Why can't we do that? Just because a couple of people on the PGA Tour ended up testing positive? So now everything has to go away? I just don't want to have that thought grow, because you know that people in charge are always going to be thinking in their minds all these questions that you have been bringing up. Well, if someone tests positive, or if someone gets so sick that they end up passing away, and then all of a sudden we were irresponsible, and the lawsuits and everything else. So, you know, you know it just takes a couple of pieces of bad news in sports for everybody to react and the dominoes to start falling.
Well, you know, there's been an increase in younger people coming down with this. That's the other thing. And most young people are coming through it just fine. But there still are bubbles in the Queens and Bronx areas where they are trying to go in and test, and they're trying to trace and get a handle on some of the hotter spots that are still there. But the hospitalizations are down. So, you know, it's going to be here. We got to be reasonable about it, and we got to do everything we can that when we are out in public, wear a mask and socially distance, keep washing your hands and doing all the things that they've told you, and do not take it for granted. That's basically the bottom line. You can't take it for granted. And especially if you have older people at home that you are taking care of, or, you know, you want to go visit your family member in a nursing home or something like that, you still have to be really, really careful. That's the most important message that we can give. I would also say this, that I know for a fact, after talking to a couple of NFL people yesterday, that part of the league wants to start later. They don't want to report in July. They want to report in August, and then they want to start later in the year. They want to really get a handle on what's going on with the PGA, what's going on with NASCAR, what's going to go on right. with baseball, basketball, and hockey. And they want to see what those Petri dishes look like.
Exactly.
So then they can also now react to that and then put in place, hopefully, protocols that allow football to be played. Now, there's always going to be inner strife in the NFL amongst the 32 owners. They are not in lockstep in this in any way, shape, or form. The owners that have the loudest voices and the ones that want to make as much money as they possibly can and want fans to come to the game seem to have won the argument that they're going to keep everything normally and on time and on track for a normal season opening. But know this, there are many organizations within the NFL. When I say many, I could say it could be up to a third. It could be up to 10 teams. It could be 15 teams. That want to start the season at least a month later. They want to report in late August. They want to start training camp in late August. They don't want to put the players right in the middle of all of this right now. But the sentiment on that side has lost out to the other side that wants the NFL to start on time, and they want the NFL to stay the course.
Yeah, and this is exactly what I was saying about the PGA and eyes being on them is what you said was there's people out there in other sports that are watching to see what's going on with the PGA. You know, if the PGA powers through and they get through this and it ends up being a little bit of a speed bump for them, then that's good news for the other leagues. If they end up shutting it down, then those conversations are going to turn to, it's going to be a bad reference point as opposed to a good reference point where people say, look, PGA started up, they had to shut down. So look what happened there, as opposed to the PGA started up, they had some positive tests, they got through it, a couple of guys withdrew, which stunk for them. Nobody thought this was going to be easy, but look, they ended up finishing out the string, which was important to them, and look at the money they were able to make via the TV revenue and so on and so forth.
There's also one major aspect of all of this that really nobody truly understands just yet. And that is the whole super spreader effect. So Al Dukes, without even knowing it, could be a super spreader. He could be spreading COVID-19 all over. Where do you live, Al?
That's a Bradley Beach.
Beach, that's right. I was going to say Baker Beach, Bradley Beach. So Al could be walking, you know, whimsy out there and spreading this crap all over the place without even knowing it. And, you know, that's the point. When you start getting into hundreds and then thousands of people coming together, whether it be in a golf tournament, whether it be at a protest, whether it be at a, whether it be at a church, wherever it may be, a restaurant, if there's a super spreader in there, there's a good chance that it's going to happen and it's going to spread. The question would be, are there any super spreaders amongst the players? You know, it's crazy, right? I mean,
yeah,
but that's
sounds
still
like a movie.
Very big issue, though.
Like, there's been a lot of this feels like a movie reference type during this whole time, but a super spreader really does sound like a movie villain. And
most people, it's a one-to-one spread if you're close enough. And, you know, the interesting thing is I know people who live in the same household where someone in that household has had COVID-19, but everybody else in that household has tested negative for COVID-19.
Yeah.
And
we had one at work.
And they've been around each other.
Yeah, right. Well, there's one person at work. I don't know if it's out there, the person's name, but there's one person, so I won't say it on the air. There's one person at work with that exact situation who tested positive, and then everybody else in their house tested negative. So, yeah, I mean, it's that's why there's so many conflicting issues with this, is because no one really knows.
Right, and that's why everybody's talking about in an inside closed space, and events in closed spaces would basically be the place where a super spreader would absolutely just, you know, hand it off to everybody. You know, it's one of the reasons why back in early March, the governor shut down all, you know, gatherings of, you know, 50 people or more, which included our black tie at the Natural Museum of History, which was going to be over 500 people. Yeah. That was that week. We were getting ready to, and, you know, and I remember leading up to this, and I think it was probably 2 weeks prior to that dinner, you know, I started calling two or three of the CF people that were supposed to be at the event. And I said, you're not coming. You're not coming to the event because we don't know exactly what's going on. And the last thing I want to do is have somebody in the vulnerable category show up and get sick at a fundraiser, you know. And then as we got a little bit closer, we felt like, you know, that something's going to happen. And then, of course, the governor shut everything down that week, that Wednesday, as a matter of fact. So, you know, I guess it all depends on where we are in about a month as to whether or not we're going to have a really good feel as to whether we could have football in the fall.
You know, so I was going through some stuff yesterday, old stuff, because Chernoff asked us to do that because I guess he's putting together some best of for the weekend of the WFAN anniversary. And I was going through my Twitter timeline, and one of the first things that came up in video form was us calling that Devils game. And two things struck me. One, I was 15 pounds heavier at that point, which I said I didn't even realize it at the time, how fat I was looking. But the other thing was, how many people were there? I was surrounded by people on March 11th, just everywhere, like behind us, next to us, everything. It was just like how we went from that to nothing in a matter of days just still blows my mind. Like, we were just hanging out, strangers coming in, and shaking hands, taking pictures. Like, what the hell?
And you know, the next day is when Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19, and then it all stopped.
Yep, that's right. So, yeah, if you go back and watch that, it's like it's really – we knew of coronavirus at that point, obviously. We'd been talking about it for a while. But if you go back and watch that, and it's almost like you want to tell us through that video, like future me wants to go to past me and feel like, listen, man, get out of here. You don't want to be in there.
Yeah, but what I remember about that is you and I – basically taking every possible precaution.
Yeah, not really. We didn't have masks on or anything. And there was also, you know, a lot of people that came into that green room area to chat with us that, looking back, we probably wouldn't have had that. But yeah, I mean, listen, we washed our hands a ton, and we didn't mingle with the fans as much as we did the year before. So that stuff we definitely, and it's like hand sanitizer constantly. But we were still probably around too many people at that point. I remember sitting around with strangers at Press Dining. I remember there was someone that was coughing there, and I was like, oh, God. But that's I just remember specifically as I sat down with my, like, standard Press Dining meal.
You know, yeah, but the amazing thing is down at the Super Bowl, you know, at Radio Row.
Yeah.
I mean, we're right in the middle of all of that, and all of that was coming. That was the whole N95 mask discussion.
Yep, that's right. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, just getting started on this Thursday morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.